This message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. At the end, we will give information about how to contact us to receive a copy of this or other messages.
If you have your Bibles, let's open up to the Gospel of Luke. We've made it into a new chapter. We are in chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. This is the reading of God's word, Luke chapter 8, picking up in verse 1. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. This is the reading of God's word. Let's pray. Our good God, we pray for your help. Speak to us. Give us believing hearts. Give us hearing ears. Lord, speak to us, and we pray that you would make us individually and us as a church more like what you call us to be. Please help us by the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. This is a quiet passage, isn't it? These three first verses of chapter 8. It's a quiet passage. Jesus goes on doing what Jesus has been doing all along. He's going along proclaiming that good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 are with him. Jesus is really just doing what he's been doing for some time now in this gospel. And then Luke takes this quiet passage. He takes the opportunity here to introduce some of his disciples. You might be wondering what we're going to talk about in a passage this short, in a passage seemingly this uneventful. I give you this question. I want you to think about this as we go. Why does Luke mention the women who followed Jesus? Well, you see, it turns out, it's always a temptation for us to read things in light of our society, but it turns out in that society, it was unusual for women to travel with a rabbi. Now, Jesus going around like an itinerant preacher, that would not have been unusual. Women who supported an itinerant preacher, that would not have been unusual. But women traveling with that preacher, traveling with that rabbi, that would have been unusual. Although the differences can really be overstated, it is safe to say that women did indeed occupy a different place in that society than they do now. Jesus' attitude toward women was unusual by society's standards, and Luke is making a very intentional point of it here. He wants us to see this. He wants to show us this. When you're reading the Bible and something just pops up and you think, ah, that's unimportant, you probably don't understand why it's there. By the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke, after all these glorious highlights of Jesus' ministry, he pauses and he says, and I'm going to tell you about three of the women who were with Jesus. So, I want these questions in your mind as we go. What should we learn from the way Jesus viewed women? And maybe more to the point is this, is your view of women the same view that Jesus held? We're coming back to this, don't you worry. So who are these women? There's Mary, called Magdalene. Magdalene, sometimes we assume it's kind of like, you know, the last name, like Smith or something, but probably is indicating that she's from a town called Magdala. It's on the Sea of Galilee's western shore. You have Mary Magdalene. You have Joanna, the wife of a man named Chuzza. Chuzza was an administrative official in Herod's court. Joanna's presence actually is evidence that the message of Jesus very early on in his ministry had reached into the world of the powerful. And then there's Susanna. There is nothing else we know about Susanna. Just that she is Susanna and she's here with Jesus. This is the only place in the Bible she's mentioned. Though they have different life stories, these women, one from another, they share a common theme. And what's that common theme? They were disciples of Jesus Christ. See, not women disciples, as if that's another kind of disciple. Not sub-disciples, as if they were doing something less in their discipleship. They were simply disciples. At the very core of it, the call to discipleship, it is not bound by gender. Men and women alike receive the same summons from the King of creation and redemption. Repent, believe, follow. And that is what these women had done. And that is what these women would faithfully continue to do. When Jesus is being crucified, you know who's there? Mary. She's there all the way to the bitter end. When Jesus rises from the dead, two of the very first people who meet the resurrected Savior, it's Mary Magdalene again and Joanna. They are among the first to learn the news that the Savior had conquered death. These are not fair weather followers. And these women had the distinct privilege of being among those who provided for the Savior's ministry. See, if you ask any kind of logistical questions of a gospel, you may have wondered at some point, how does Jesus go around traveling and preaching? You see, because like us today, traveling back then required resources. And when you have a group of guys who all leave their jobs to go proclaim the kingdom of God, those resources have a way of drying up. So how did they pay for their travels? This group of faithful women is part of the answer. Now, before we keep going, I don't want you to miss something huge here. Jesus relied on people to support him. Process that. Jesus, the Son of God, relied on people to support him. This is actually the staggering reality of the incarnation across Jesus' whole life. The moment he is willing to take on flesh, he is depending upon his creation to support him. It is an incredible mark of the humility and condescension of our God. The Almighty, the All-Powerful, depended on his creation's help. And what a privilege these women enjoyed. What a privilege they enjoyed. When we as individuals or as a church, when we support the work of a missionary or of a ministry, it gives us satisfaction to support a faithful cause, to support a well-run ministry. Imagine the satisfaction of financing the Son of God himself. What better use of your money is there than that? What better use do you have for your money than to send the Son of God around from town to town, village to village, proclaiming the kingdom of God? What a joy. What a privilege these women had. But we need to make sure we don't take this too lightly. Because as I've taught on before, giving what you have always costs something. Giving always costs something. even if it is a great cause, it still costs something. And these women were putting their money where their mouth was. They didn't just say some supportive words like, we really like what you're up to, and then walk away and not do anything with it. They gave from their own resources to enable the kingdom of God to be proclaimed across the land. It's a good challenge to us to say, is my money where my mouth is? As you look at this passage, it would actually be very easy to over-apply and to over-interpret it. You can imagine, for example, how a feminist agenda might run with this emphasis on disciples who were women. But just because we can imagine people misinterpreting this passage, it doesn't mean that we then have the right to stick our heads in the sand and learn nothing. Luke has made a special point to point out these women and their service to Jesus. He has made a special point to show us that Jesus' view of women was different than the society in which he ministered. Luke intends for us to learn something from these three verses. So what can we learn and yet remain on solid ground? Well, let's start with this. Women were indispensable in the Lord's work during his earthly ministry. And women remain indispensable to the Lord's work now. That shouldn't come as a surprise to any of us. But let's be sure we are agreeing on what we're talking about here. Women are indispensable as disciples of the Lord. The foundational call of a woman is to be a disciple of the Lord. Christian women, you are more than your vocation. You are more than your role in a family. You are more than how this world views you. You are to be a Christian, first and foremost. So, like all disciples, women must devote themselves to being a disciple. They must grow in their understanding of their Lord. How do they do that? They grow in the Word. They grow in pursuing the Word. They live out what they learn of the Word. Women must grow in the faith, learning every day what it means to trust God for their highest good, for their soul's satisfaction. They must grow in holiness continually, forsaking this world, forsaking themselves, so that they can be wholly set apart to their God. Like all disciples, sisters in the Lord are called to repent, believe, and follow. We as Christians must reject any standard for women that undermines the standards that our King has for women. It's so easy to look at this world and blame the world for undermining womanhood, the way that the world, you know, it exalts autonomy, it exalts sexuality. But Christians do this too. As I talk about what God's design is for women, this is an exhortation for men and for women alike. This is about how a woman views herself. This is about how women view each other. This is about how men view women. We all play a role in undermining God's vision for women. You say, how have I done that? How have I undermined God's vision for women? Well, if we value a charming woman over a believing woman, we are undermining God's standards. if we value some idealized vision for physical beauty over a woman's faithfulness, we are undermining our God's standards. If we value fun over truth, if we value hobbies over holiness, if we value humor over wisdom, then we are undermining God's standards for women. Our king calls his daughters first and foremost to be disciples. And women and men alike must prioritize, must value that calling. Women are indispensable as disciples of the Lord. Women are indispensable in the life of our church. Let's do a hypothetical here. Let's say that the church is 50-50 split between men and between women. How does the work of the church go forward without one half of its members? It's like riding a bike with one wheel. It doesn't work. The church cannot fulfill its commission without women. The church cannot honor its Lord if it has divided itself with false ideas of gender and discipleship. Christ redeemed a people, not merely two genders. While there are biblical distinctions to be made between men and between women, there is no distinction to be made in terms of discipleship. The church needs women rooted in the Word. We need women who understand the Gospels and the Proverbs alike. We need women who understand the heart of their God, who understand His ways. We need women proficient in the basics of the Word. We need women soaring for the heights of His Word. We need women who build their lives upon the Word of God. The church needs women in the Word, so that those women can disciple other women in the Word. How can we possibly fulfill the great commission of our Lord if we don't have women participating in the discipleship? I'll just, by way of sort of anecdote, it is precious to us as pastors when we know that there is a faithful woman that we can connect a sister with. It is precious, and it enables God's work to be done in ways that the pastors may never be able to come close to. We treasure women who are in the Word, faithful women in the Lord. We as a church need women who can encourage, who can exhort, who can rebuke. The church needs women in the Word so that the Word is being brought out into the world. We need women who are going forward proclaiming the gospel to friends, proclaiming it to strangers, proclaiming it to colleagues. We need women who are passionate and confident about the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need women who bring the aroma of faith and holiness into our households. Sisters, who will testify of His grace if it isn't you? Who will witness to His faithfulness if it isn't you? Who will model godliness if it isn't you? Daughters of the Lord, set your heart upon being disciples of Jesus Christ. Though your life stories differ one from another, let the common theme of your lives be that you are disciples. Our Lord valued women. Let us, all of us, be sure we value women likewise. Let us follow the steps of our sister Mary Magdalene. Her life will serve as an enduring witness of the transforming grace of God. The Lord took a demon-possessed woman and transformed her into one of his most faithful disciples. If he can do that work for her, you can believe there is hope that he can do mighty work in us. Let us follow in the steps of our sister Joanna. When a prominent and fairly influential woman embraces the message of this upstart rabbi, she was doing so under the public eye, and she was doing so at her own risk. But she risked status and she risked reputation because she believed that the Messiah had come. And if we are known for nothing else, let us be known for being like Susanna. We know nothing of Susanna besides the fact that she was a disciple of Jesus Christ. How is that for a legacy? Isn't that a wonderful idea that someone looking back on your life, all the achievements and the failures would be stripped away and you were simply known for having been a follower of Jesus Christ? That is a legacy to work for. That is a legacy to long for. That is a legacy to pray for. So may the Lord bless us, all of us, to be known first and foremost as disciples of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our good God, we thank you for faithful sisters who have come before us. And we thank you for a call from our Lord to discipleship, one that is not limited by society's standards, one that is not constrained by society's standards. Our Lord bid sinners to come and follow him. What a gracious call it was. Father, help us, each one of us, to be disciples of our Lord. Help each one of us treasure disciples in our midst. Help us to shed off the world's false standards. May we value faith. May we value faithfulness. May we value those who follow faithfully after you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada. To receive a copy of this or other messages, call us at area code 775-782-6516 or visit our website, gracenevada.com.